Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Right on. So I am, continuing the Kingdom Living series. We are going to be journeying through the Sermon on the Mount. And in this series, Jesus is really outlining what Kingdom Living is defined by, what it looks like, and what it is all about. And we, if you are a follower of Jesus and a believer of Jesus, you want to embrace this way of Kingdom Living. Last week, Claude had this slide that talked about three different ways of living. There's religious living, where maybe you look at just the rules of God, but you never actually change the inside of you. And so it becomes a formality and a dead ritual without the heart engaged. And then according to how well you follow those things, you gauge your self-righteousness out of that, which leads to pride. And we don't want that. There's worldly living where we define our own truth and we make the world revolves around me and what I want to be true. We certainly don't want that. And then there's kingdom living rooted in the ways of the kingdom, the ways of God, defined by a love for God and a love for others, where we are followers of King Jesus in our life. And this is what we want to encompass as believers, the kingdom ways. And so let's read the Beatitudes again, because these are so rich. I encourage you all summer, just deep in Matthew 5 through 7. It is incredible. But Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus in these Beatitudes, he's really outlining this is what kingdom people look like. This is how they live. And it is this backwards, people call it the upside down kingdom because it goes against the ways of the world. It goes against what we would often understand in a worldly point of view. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What? Right? And so it's very upside down. But Jesus is pulling the curtain back on what his kingdom is all about and what people of his kingdom embody and look like in their life. And now we're going to be covering verse 13 to 16. And this is where Jesus gives this a really important role to the believers. And he says, this is really who you are. If you're a kingdom living person, the Beatitudes are maybe what you embody and live out. But now Jesus is saying, if you're a kingdom living person, this is what you are here on earth. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So this is really who we are. Right? Jesus doesn't even just say, "Hey, try to be like salt and try to be like light. You should do this." Jesus says, "This is who you are." Right? We've been given these titles. We are the body of Christ. We represent Jesus here on earth. And so what does it mean to fulfill these roles? We can talk a lot about that, and we will throughout the service, but really in a short little snapshot, to be the salt. Back in ancient times, they didn't have refrigerators or fridges, right? So that's really nice and handy to put stuff in the fridge, and it keeps things from decay. But back in the day, salt was used to keep things from decay. So we on the earth, we keep the ways of God and his kingdom from decay. Salt also has, obviously it has flavor. It's meant to give flavor to things. And we are meant to be the flavor of God here on earth. Light illuminates. It guides lost people to the way. And this is what we do. We are lighthouses that when people are lost at sea, they see our light. And it's really, they're led not to us. They're led to the light of Jesus, the light that Jesus has given us. Because ultimately, it's Jesus who is the light of the world. And we also know that light casts out darkness. So these are the roles we're called to embrace. We're called to say, okay, this is my responsibility to fulfill these things here on earth. But Jesus also warns us how we can fail to accomplish these things. So we're going to talk about this because we want to do a good job of being the salt and light. Amen? Amen. You're not convinced, but I believe you are. We want to do a good job of being salt and light, right? Yes. Oh, there we go. Okay, now you're with me. So let's read about how we can be ineffective. The first thing that Jesus says, we become ineffective if we lose our saltiness. I have a weakness when I go to a store and I see a clearance section and things are like 75% off, I just buy them. Did any of you ever do that? Like it can be really something I don't need and something that's completely useless. And I'm like, you know what? I'm saving money. It doesn't make sense because you're not saving money when you buy these things and you take them home. Val, look what I bought. Why did you buy that? It was cheap, right? And then we throw it out. I really hope, I think if I went to a clearance section and I saw flavorless salt, even if it was 99% off, I am not buying it. It's useless. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you've lost your flavor, that can just become dirt. It can just be thrown out because it's no longer good. So we as believers who are the salt of the earth, we have to make sure to keep our saltiness, to keep our distinction from the world. If we start to just try to fit in with the world and actually compromise the morality of God, then all of a sudden we've lost our distinctive taste and we've lost our flavor and we're of no use anymore. We're actually called to taste different, amen? We're called to stand out. And what Christian living is all about is it's learning the ways of God. It's being transformed by the Spirit of God to live those ways out. So when people experience your life, they do engage with something that's different. You're living for a different kingdom. You have a different king. You have a different way of life that you're living. And when they experience your life, it's like, huh, that's different, right? So we're called to stand out. We're not called even to be at home here on earth. Look what it says in 1 Peter. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. Isn't that cool? I urge you as foreigners and exiles. He was telling the early church, remember guys, you're a kingdom person, a kingdom of heaven person, not a kingdom of earth person. You're a kingdom of heaven person. So while the kingdom is here, it's still not here in full. So we are in exile in a sense because we're living here on earth, but yet we're living for another kingdom. So live as foreigners and exiles and abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. So again, we could be perfectly Christian, living upstanding, pure lives and still be accused. Amen? We can still be called intolerant. We can still be called all of these things because we hold true to the ways and morals of God. And some people would say that is not loving, but we can't compromise on that. But what we're doing though is we're shining the light and the love of God through our good deeds. And when that happens, there can be this amazing thing that people are actually led to God through your life. How many of you want that to happen? I want that to happen so bad. And I would argue you could do a lot of great things in life for that youth that you guys that just graduated. Hey, you could become teachers and doctors and accomplish all of these things. And those things are valuable and great and good. And we need doctors and we need teachers, right? But if people aren't led to the light of God through your life is not having much value anymore. Amen? So this morning, we're going to look at the story of four people who did an incredible job of living in exile and representing the light of Christ through their lives. In 586 BC, the kingdom of Babylon is at its peak power, and they destroy Jerusalem. They go into Israel, they destroy Jerusalem and Judah, and they destroy the temple, and then they bring the Israelites out of Israel into Babylon. And so when a nation does this, when a nation invades another country and then takes the people, what they now want to do is they want to take all of the talent, all of the awesome people, and then get them to start building their kingdom. So this is what Babylon did. They took the people of Israel out of Israel, and now they wanted to take Israel out of the people and make them into Babylonians. So we read in Daniel 1, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were four young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylon names. Daniel was called Belshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego. So again, every part of what Babylon wanted to do was assimilate them into Babylonian culture. They literally changed their names from names that honored God to names that pointed to the Babylonian gods. They every part of their identity, they wanted them to become Babylonian people. They would bring them to, these four would have been brought to 3 years of schooling where they learned the language of the Babylonian. They learned the Babylonian gods. They learned the Babylonian customs. They were supposed to eat, live, breathe, think, become Babylonian so that they can serve the Babylonian Empire. But then it says, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to him by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. And I think this is beautiful because if we are living as exiles here on earth, we need to do the same thing. We need to be determined not to defile ourselves. Can I say that again? We need to be determined not to defile ourselves. And we need to know, where is the line? Where is the line where while I'm serving here on earth and while I'm living here on earth, my ultimate allegiance is to God. So there will be different places when it comes to my journey in life where I have to say, no, I'm not involved in this because I'm serving God first. Amen? And what Daniel did is he blessed Babylon. He served the king. And this is even what Jeremiah told the Israelites to do. Go to Babylon, work the land, and seek the shalom of Babylon, but you're still serving the king, number one. And so we have to make sure that as our culture changes, we need to remember that God's morality doesn't change. Amen? His ways don't change. We live in the 21st century. And I've heard that as an excuse to sin. Hey, we live in the 21st century. This is normal everywhere in culture, so we can just do this now. But if we're gonna do things because it's the 21st century, then now we're just reflecting culture instead of shining the light of Jesus, and we've lost our saltiness. Amen? So we need to make sure that we are not defiling ourselves with the things of this world and make sure that our beliefs are rooted in the Word of God and not just rooted in one YouTube video that we watch and one guy says, oh, this is okay now. And it's like, okay, I guess this is okay now, right? We need to be firm in this regard because if we lose our saltiness and just reflect the world around us, we're no longer distinct. We're no longer salt and we've lost our testimony. So then it goes on to talk about Daniel again, let's look at Daniel 6. It says, 6 verse 3 says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps that by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." They're not happy with that. "Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way of Daniel, that in the way he was handling government affairs. But they couldn't. They couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful. He was always responsible and completely trustworthy." Look, they're trying to find some way in where Daniel is not just living a noble life. They can't find anything. So they concluded the only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. And may that be our testimony, Christians. May that be our testimony. If people are going to accuse us, if people are going to call us names, if people are going to say, "Hey, you're not loving," may it be because we are just holding fast to God's ways. And we are truly loving, but we just won't compromise. Amen? And so they accuse us for the truth. They're offended because of the gospel. Amen? We live such good lives among the pagans that they might still accuse us of doing wrong, but we're living these lives in a way where we shine, and then they see God through our life. And so what they do is they outlaw prayer. And when Daniel learned that law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. With his windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed 3 times a day, just as he has always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. And thus then he was thrown into the lion's den. We know the story. But two things that really stick out to me here when Daniel learned about that decree that you can no longer pray to any god but the king of Babylon. The first thing is that he flung the window open and pointed towards Jerusalem. Why was he pointing towards Jerusalem? It was a daily reminder for him that he was living in exile. Amen? He was serving all day faithfully. He was working hard. He was seeking the shalom of Babylon. But he never at one point did he consider himself Babylonian. He always knew that his citizenship was there in Jerusalem. So when he's pointing himself towards Jerusalem and praying, he's reminding himself, "I don't belong here. I live for another kingdom. I serve another king first and foremost. This might be where I am and where God has planted me, but I'm here to be salt and I'm here to be light and I'm here to be distinct from this kingdom." And we need to do the same as believers. We need to set our mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Because while it says citizen of Canada on our passport, or you might have another passport too where you're a citizen of, if you're a follower of Jesus, ultimately your true identity is that you're a citizen of heaven. Amen? We might have a prime minister here in Canada, but our ultimate ruler is King Jesus, God, right? So he's reminding himself of this. The second thing that I find so radical is that he flung the doors open. Like, come on, Daniel, can't you just keep them shut? Like, just keep them shut today, right? Like, the decree just happened. Just pray in your room silently. But the windows were wide open. And the second way that Jesus talks about where we become ineffective in our faith is if we cover our light. Let's go back to Matthew where it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." If I light a lamp and then I put it under a basket, it's no longer useful. Amen? It's like, why? What's the purpose of it? It's lost its purpose. So we have to, in the same way, let our light shine before others so they see our light. Because when they see our light, like it says here, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we, as Christians, we are called to live uncovered lives. We are called to live out loud. We're called to have our light on a stand. We're not called to be an undercover Christian. I know it's a temptation to be an undercover Christian, right? Do you ever want to be an undercover Christian? They'll never see me coming. They won't know what I believe in, what I stand for, and one day I'm just going to convert them. No, you're meant to be distinct and different. Salt has a taste. Your life should have the taste of God. Your love should just taste different than the world's. The way you live in honor and integrity and all of these things should be so radically different and on display where you're not ashamed of that. In my previous two workplaces, I never had the temptation of living undercover because as people would ask me, you know, who are you and what are you doing in life? I would tell them I'm studying to become a pastor. So it blew my cover right there. They're like, what? And then they would call me priest and pastor kind of in a joking way. But it turned out to be kind of a cool thing. Because while I was exposed and not living undercover, I had a heart to say, hey, can I represent Jesus well? Can I love these people well? Can I let my light shine? And maybe they'll accuse me, and they did, but maybe also they'll see God. And in both instances, there was cool testimonies of people coming to faith, and I didn't have God led them, right? But I was able to have a small part in that. And so we as believers, we're called to shine, no matter how that's received, no matter if that's accepted with joy or rejected, and we're called something. In whatever context we live in, we are called to shine. Canada Day is tomorrow, and if we look at the nation of Canada, we're now called a post-Christian nation, where we're going to stand out more and more for the things that we believe and the word of God that we hold to. And if our nation keeps continuing and drifting away from Christian values, hey, persecution may even come, right? As believers, that could be part of what happens to our lives. So just in a couple of verses before the salt and light, it talked about being persecuted. And it talked about the blessing of being persecuted, right? Persecution has never stopped the church. Darkness has never distinguished light. Hasn't happened once. In John 1:5, it says, the light shines in darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. So when Jesus came to earth, think about this. The Roman Empire was growing and getting stronger and stronger. The Roman Empire probably reached its peak in 100 AD. Why would Jesus pick that time to come to earth? The Roman Empire is growing stronger and stronger, and they don't like Christianity because they feel threatened by Christians. Christians were living these lives where they were living as exiles, serving in Rome, but they were loving people, taking sick people in, being charitable, and then Caesar, the emperor, got an idea. I'm gonna kill them, and I'm gonna put them on display and make them an example. Well, that wasn't a good idea, because the early Christians, they died with noble and hopeful faith and expectation. Look at the early church father, Ignatius. Look at what he said. This is so wild. Nearness to the sword is nearness to God. To be among the wild beasts is to be in the arms of God. This was right before he got eaten by lions. Only let it be in the name of Jesus Christ. I endure all things that I may suffer together with him. He who became perfect man strengthens me. So this just put Christians' faith on display, and the light just shined bright, and many people came to faith because of the persecution and the killing of Christians. If our nation keeps drifting away from God, we can be sure, we don't know maybe about persecution, but we can be sure that we'll stand out more as Christians, right? We will be sure that we will stand out more as Christians. But we were always meant to stand out. We're not meant to find a home here on earth. We're kingdom of heaven people. We're called to be the salt and light. And it's interesting because while Babylon tried to bring Israel into exile and make them Babylonians, it was said that during that time, Jewish identity was strengthened because Israel had already compromised. They had already been serving pagan gods and prophets who were warning them, but they were living in sin. They were already losing their saltiness. And so here Babylon comes in, brings them to exile, and there's a faithful remnant of Israelites that are truly the salt and light. And so actually what Babylon thought, oh, we'll just absorb them, it didn't happen. The identity was strengthened. So I wonder today if we drift away from Christian values, maybe we can be faithful and maybe our identity can be strengthened. Maybe we'll stick out more, and that's actually a good thing. Amen? So how do we live as salt and light in our culture today? This is a big question. Look at that question. We need to think about that a lot. But I just have a few ways as we close. The first thing that we have to not do is don't conform. We can't conform, right? We have to hold on to the word of God. And if we adapt our beliefs because of our preferences or feelings, we have to know that we are now losing our saltiness. We are now no longer distinct in what we believe and stand for. And so we're no longer pointing people to Jesus. We're just reflecting the culture around us. And then we've lost our effectiveness as salt. We need to live as faithful exiles. I just want you to listen to this today. Point yourselves towards Jerusalem. Point yourselves towards heaven, right? Point yourselves to the King in heaven. This is who you are a citizen of. Daniel, three times a day, swung the doors open, and he had this time because, again, he's reminding himself, I don't belong here. The ways of Babylon are not my ways. What I learned in my pagan schooling today, again, he went to pagan school for 3 years, that's not the truth of God. I'm a citizen there. If we don't do the same and don't have those times of prayer in our lives, how are we not going to conform? Amen? We must not lose our way. Like God said to Josiah, meditate on my laws day and night so you don't turn to the right or to the left. How do we live as salt and light in our culture today? We don't cover our faith up. We don't know how our beliefs are going to be accepted. We don't know how our faith is going to be taken. It can result in accusation against us. But guess what? It also can result in people seeing the light of God through your life and coming to know Him. Our light needs to be seen in this dark world, right? So now more than ever, we need to shine. We need to stand out. We don't cover. We don't cower. We don't hold back. Look what the author of Hebrews said to the early church. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Verse 39, we don't belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Amen? Our kingdom's unshakable. You can't take anything of us, and this is what the early church knew. Ignatius was like, you're going to throw me to the lions? Make my day. Wonderful. I was waiting for that. I was waiting to see God. And now I'm going to be there and I'm counted worthy of suffering with Christ. Hallelujah. And instead of us just complaining, let us just burst out with love outside of us so people can see the love of Christ through our lives. Amen. Living as salt and light in the world, we don't cut ties and withdraw from the world. This is why we're not planting Gospel Mission Church on an island, right? It would be kind of cool if we went to a secluded island. We all said, hey, we're going to have church together on this island. We're going to learn the ways of God, and we're going to be the salt and light on this little island together. Well, that's not effective. If salt is going to preserve from decay, it's got to be on the meat. If light is going to shine in darkness, it's got to be amongst darkness, right? So we don't withdraw from the world or cut ties. Look what Jesus said, and this is so powerful in John 17. It was his last prayer to the disciples and those that would believe, which is us. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world because people need to shine in the world. but you keep them from the evil one. Keep their distinctiveness, keep their salt, keep their light. If we're gonna be salt and light, we must not contest and war against the people of the world. We have to know the battle that we're in. It's not against people. Jesus died for people. Our battle is against the powers of the dark world. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against each other. We don't fight against the people of the world, amen? If we don't realize that, and we could confuse what battle we're fighting, now we're literally fighting against the kingdom of God. We can't callous our hearts against the people of the world. Jesus came to the world and was rejected and was persecuted and was killed. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He loved and loved and loved and loved. And he laid down his life. And as he laid down his life, the soldier on the cross saw Jesus laying down his life and said, surely this must be the Son of God. This is what we have to do. Lay down our lives. This is the way of the kingdom, to love. We have to realize that complaining about darkness is not the solution. Look what it says in Philippians. Do everything without complaining or arguing. That's a tough verse. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And then, you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Yesterday, I got into my basement and I turned all the lights off. I just started complaining about how dark it was. I complained for a few minutes. I really laid into it. I said, this is so dark. I can't see anything. Do you know how dark it is in here? It is dark. And I complained and I complained. Not at one point did it get brighter. Until I turned the lights on. Amen. We can look at the state of our nation. Canada Day is tomorrow. I encourage you to pray and contest and be broken for our nation who we don't know God, that we are drifting away from God. And we can just complain about the leadership of our nation. We need a new prime minister, right? Oh man, this prime minister is awful. No, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. And we are the salt and light. You are the salt and light. We represent him. So we need to shine. We need to take our place in this world so people would see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. There's no better purpose that you can have to your life, that people are led to God through the way that you love, through the way that you live. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Yes, Jesus, you're the light of the world. And in 1 John 5, it talks about you coming into the world and shining. And darkness can never extinguish your light. And then on the Sermon of the Mount, you said this revolutionary thing to your followers, those kingdom people. You said to them, you are the salt. You are the light of the world. God, we want to be faithful to that word. God, when we look at that and just living in exile, living in a dark world, we get overwhelmed. But may it bring us to our knees where we say, oh God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I'm covering my faith and I'm cowering, I'm shrinking back. God, give me boldness in you to shine for those around me. God, where people accuse me of wrong, may I live such a good life that it would point people to the light of God. Holy Spirit, transform me where I'm selfish, where I don't respond, where I retaliate and complain about the darkness and fail to love the way you did. Holy Spirit, lead me to love so we can look like you. The world won't be saved well if the body of Christ doesn't represent you well, God. So Holy Spirit, change me, shape me, Forgive me where I've fallen short, Lord God, and empower us to be the light. You are the ultimate light of the world, and so we want to be transformed by your light inside of us and shine out for all to see, Lord God. Use us, Father, and help us to see the privilege and honor it is and the responsibility it is to bear your name, to be the body of Christ, and to be the salt and the light of the earth. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.